So the first one is John chapter 6, so it's page 1070 in your Bibles, from verse 35 to 47. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "This is not Jesus. Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life." And then the other reading is Matthew 12. It's on page 978 of your Bibles. So it's verse 46 to 50. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mothers and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother."
I wonder what the word family conjures up for you, the word family, what feelings, emotions, and reflections you might have as you think about family. We've just had a family holiday with our children and grandchildren, and on the way back, Carol and I stopped off at the village where my parents used to live. We went to a favourite cafe of theirs. We remembered the house, the home they made for the last 20 years of their life together, and how we loved going there, how we valued them, and how much they meant to me. It made me think of family more generally, especially since this is what Jesus speaks about in these words from Matthew's Gospel. For me, family conjures up relationships that have been foundational, that they were always there for me, they provided stability in my life, they provided love and support, pretty positive, which won't be the case for everyone. Some of you will have experienced unhappy childhoods, unhappy families where there might have been conflict or relational breakup, where you've actually wanted nothing to do with your family. I do remember clearly in my teens wishing I was actually in another family, despite what I've just said. They seemed more attractive, more fun, more intimacy. One where, looking in from the outside, I wished I was on the inside, one of them. But that was never going to be the case. And as I came to see later, I didn't really value what I actually had. Nor did I know what it is to be part of God's family, to belong to him, to be adopted as his child, to be treated as a brother or sister of Jesus Christ. I didn't know how utterly transformative and amazing it is to be known and loved by God. Not looking on from the outside, but on the inside, in his family, all through the gracious invitation by his astonishing grace. Well, look with me at Matthew chapter 12 that Kristen's just read. These verses at the end of Matthew 12. We're taking a slightly shortened sermon today because of what's going on. We're just going to look at these last few verses of Matthew 12. Jesus has been talking to the crowds. His disciples are around him. Most of the chapter has been taken up with Jesus revealing the deep hostility that the Pharisees have towards him. And he ends up calling them a wicked and adulterous generation in verse 39 because of their rebellious rejection of him. And as he comes to the end of what he's saying to the Pharisees, someone spots Jesus's mother and brothers arriving outside. And they go and give Jesus the tip-off that his family are outside so that he could break off, presumably, what he was doing and give time to them. After all, your biological family are pretty important. You want to give them priority over others. I mean, if your family showed up outside this morning, someone might tip you off and said, oh, by the way, your family are here. You might want to go outside and say hello to them. It'd be a natural thing to do. But it's not what Jesus does. His biological family arriving give him the opportunity to teach who his family really are. And here's the first point of two from these verses. Those who follow Jesus are his true family. Those who follow Jesus are his true family. The account here is also revealed in Mark's gospel. And Mark tells us a bit more about Jesus' family. They think he is out of his mind, that they are unbelieving. They don't believe he is who he says he is, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, the King of Kings, who's going to usher in the kingdom of God. It's noticeable in these couple of verses here that Matthew records Jesus' brother and mothers are on the outside. Why does he emphasize that? Well, it's a picture not just of where they were physically standing, but their relational position. They were distant from him. They were unbelieving. They could have come in. They could have listened, but they chose to remain outside. And so Jesus teaches those who are on the inside an extraordinary truth, that his disciples, those on the inside, are closer to him than his natural family. Who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Those who follow him, those who are learning from him, that's what the word disciple means, a learner, those who are walking with them, he treats them now as brothers and sisters. And what he's doing, therefore, is creating a new family, not based on blood, not biological, but through trusting and believing in him, they come into his family, accepted and received as brothers and sisters, no longer outside like his natural brothers and sisters and mother, but inside. It's possible to be religious like the Pharisees who he's had in his sights in this chapter and not part of the kingdom of God. It's possible to be a churchgoer, to do the right things, to look good on the outside, to be religious and yet far from God. So often people say to me when they discover I'm a minister, they say to me, oh, I'm not religious. Inference being that, of course, I am religious. And I reply, I'm not religious. And actually, it's good that you're not religious because that's not what Jesus is interested in. It's even possible here to be related to the Savior of the world and not be part of the kingdom of God. Religious practices, family pedigree are utterly inadequate to bring anyone into the kingdom of God. What is needed is an acknowledgement, an acceptance of who Jesus is, the Lord and Savior, and to trust him and follow him. This is what brings us into intimate relationship with Jesus, closer than that of his mother and brothers. We're not only brought into relationship with him, we're brought into relationship with all those who put their trust in Jesus. So as we meet as brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, we have a worldwide international family. Our unity in this family is not biological, not forged by blood, but in and through Jesus. And I wonder if that is how we see it. I wonder if that is what we look like to those on the outside. A family. here at Church of the Green, brothers and sisters, more closely tied to one another than our blood brothers and sisters and mothers. A family that has priority and preeminence over our natural family. For this is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. So what are the implications of being part of this new family? Some of us come from close natural families. We love spending time with them. The relationships we have are deep. Sometimes we have to make decisions. Time with natural family, time with brothers and sisters in Christ. How do we decide when that tension arrives? Who comes first? It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because a little later on in Matthew 15, Jesus is going to quote the commandment, honor your father and mother. We see Jesus doing exactly that in his dying moments on the cross. He sees his mother from the cross, and he says to the disciple John, take care of her. Here is your mother. So he certainly doesn't neglect his family. And these verses here are not so much a confrontation with his family, but more of a statement of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, to be committed to him. My observation would be of us that we tend to put our natural families ahead of our brothers and sisters in Christ. I just want to ask the question, is that right in light of Jesus' teaching here? Think of what you'll do for your natural brothers and sisters and mother. You'd lend them money or cars or homes. You'd take them to hospital. You'd visit them when they're sick. You'd support them in difficulties. You'd rejoice with them in the celebrations of life. Do we do the same for our brothers and sisters in Christ? Is that because we haven't fully understood that Jesus has adopted us into his family? Not by our achievements or our good works or our religious observance, not because of our Christian heritage, but through grace. The brilliant thing about our family in Christ is we are all on the same level. You know, in some families you have, oh, they're a favorite of mum or dad. You have favored brothers or sisters. Or conversely, you have the black sheep of the family. Well, there are no favored brothers or sisters. There are no black sheep in this family because of Jesus. None of us deserve to be his brother or sister. We are so far from perfect. But he has put us right. He has dealt with all that separates and alienates us. That is our sin. In his family, we are all on a level. We are all sinners, saved by grace. So it's a family we can rejoice in. We don't need to be competitive and feel inferior or superior. We are all equally loved by Jesus. And it's an open door for anyone who's not in this family. Jesus says, come to me. We were looking at those verses recently. His invitation to come and receive him. And if we will do this, then we enter into the privilege and joy of being closer to him than his brothers or sisters or mother. Those who follow Jesus are his true family. Secondly, Jesus' family is marked by obedience to the Father's will. Jesus' family is marked by obedience to the Father's will. There's a photo last week of Boris Johnson alongside his sister and his brother, who's also an MP, and his father. And as you looked, whatever you think of them, you could see family likeness. How often we say of children, they're a splitting image of their mother or father. Characteristics that identify them are very obvious, whether it's the color of their hair or the sound of their voice. What are the family characteristics of those who are followers of Jesus and in his family? They're not physical because it's not a biological family. But there should be family likeness. Well, Jesus tells us in verse 50, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus' family is marked by obedience to the Father's will. And we ask, well, what is the will of God the Father? Well, Jesus reveals it in John's Gospel. That's why we had those verses read earlier, John 15. Jesus says, my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That is the Father's will, that we should believe in Jesus, submit to him, trust his promises of forgiveness and freedom and life and resurrection. Not believing once, past and passive, but keeping on believing, present and active, day by day. This is the life of faith for the followers of Jesus. And it's a dynamic faith, for it will change our behavior, our thoughts, our attitudes and actions as we walk with him. We'll grow in the likeness of Jesus. We should start to become more kind and gentle and patient, have better self-control, exhibit goodness and peace and love and joy. These are beautiful and attractive characteristics that will flow out of obedience to our Heavenly Father. The trouble is, we hear the word obedience and that sets all sorts of triggers off in our minds, which are pretty negative. It sounds rules-based. It gives us a heavy heart. We think drudgery when we hear obedience, because we associate obedience negatively. We think dread because we fear that our lack of obedience will end in condemnation for our failures. But hang on a minute, what did Jesus say when asked about the greatest commandment? Love me with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus shows par excellence that love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. And that's a love that we see in his sacrificial sin-bearing death on the cross. His love for us motivates us in our love for him because of what he's done for us. We want to walk in his paths, not out of dread, not out of duty, but because of what God has given me. When he says we're to do his will, this is the best way to live, the best path to walk in. I read this last week, quote, "The commandments of God are about explaining the safe and good path for life. They show us his character and care. It's as we walk in his ways that we experience the goodness of our God." As we walk in his ways, we experience the goodness of God. Well, let's just think about this for those involved in Holiday Bible Club this week. We're going to be working in a large team drawn from across the churches of Arborfield, Barkham and Christchurch, who are brothers and sisters in Christ, but some of whom we've never met before. How will it work? Will it work? We'll be tested. There'll be individuals that will irritate us. We'll wonder why we're being asked to do some things, some we won't want to do, some children we'll find really hard to relate to, and so on. It'll challenge our heart's desires. We'll feel the pull of self-interest and self-protection. We'll feel the battle of our will and God's will, walking in our paths and walking in his path. With two things to bear in mind. Firstly, Jesus doesn't call us to an obedience that he doesn't equip us to do. Never. He gives us his Holy Spirit to help us in our weakness. If only we will ask him, he will help. So ask, which is what prayer is. Ask him to help you to do the Father's will and not your own. It's what we say in the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done. So let's be praying that. Secondly, look to Jesus and his loving service of me in obedience to his Heavenly Father. His love for me will help motivate me to love my brother and sister who I don't want to love. As Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. He then gives them the model, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And then he gives a conclusion, a consequence of such obedience. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Jesus' family is marked by obedience to the Father's will. And those who follow Jesus are his true family. just as we close, I wonder if you've been to a wedding where it comes to the photographs after the service and they say, if you're family, we'd like you in the photo. And we look on as those, if we're not one of the family, at the family from the outside. Are you family, brothers and sisters and mothers of Jesus? His natural family found themselves on the outside, but they didn't remain there. As you read on in the New Testament, you find them ceasing to be unbelievers, but becoming believers, true family of Jesus. And anyone can be in Jesus' family. Wherever we've come from, whatever we've done, however undeserving and unworthy we think we are, Jesus says, come to me. He invites us to join his family and find forgiveness and freedom and life and resurrection. So come if you haven't and receive him. And if you have received him, then it should be evident. A growing family likeness, becoming more like Jesus as we walk with him in obedience. And let's pray for this to be really evident at Holiday Bible Club. Let's pray for this to be evident in our family life here as Church at the Green and in our own lives to the glory and honour of Jesus. Let's be quiet for a moment and just reflect on those words of Jesus. Then I'll pray and we're going to sing.